We'll call the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. Today, we have with us, we'll start on this end. No, we'll start on Senator Sally Hughes. Yes, thank you, Senator Hughes. Senator Reibold, Senator Keel. He's getting old, isn't he? Senator Machicki and Senator Coggill. Today, we have Sean Ayers with us. See, I have all the names written here. Nancy Hemingway, and Carson. Carson, that's right, yeah. Carson Walters. And today we have just a couple items on. We'll do governor's appointees today. But before we get to that, just one piece of business on Senate Bill 191. I have some amendments drafted. I will make sure that all of you get to look at them. I think they're going to address the very things that we were talking about in committee that you missed. But I'll make sure that you understand what the issue was and how they fit into the context, Senator Reinbold. I think that'll satisfy that particular bill. Just to let you know, that's coming your way.
And Mr. Chairman, I think you know why I was gone. We were supposed to be at ISEX up on the Arctic.
I know, it didn't happen. I'm sorry to hear.
We hung out with the military, though, all day. It was really fun.
Yeah. Today, we're going to be looking at the Police Standards Council. We have in front of us Ed Mercer, who I've talked with a number of times over the time in history here. And he actually braved the committee by showing up personally. And
Bob talked me into it.
First of all, put yourself on record, Ed. And why don't you go ahead and just explain why you're willing to do this and some of the history of what you've been doing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Ed Mercer. I'm the Chief of Police with the Juneau Police Department. I just want to thank you for the opportunity and consideration to serve on the Alaska Police Standards Council. So a little bit of history about myself. Born and raised Alaskan, grew up in Sitka, Alaska, and that is where I started my police career back in 1992. And I took a job with the Juneau Police Department back in 2000. I would say that the Juneau Police Department has been very good to me, especially for my advancement. I started as a police officer, worked my way up through the rank and file all the way to chief. I have thousands of hours of police training that include basic police procedures to supervision management, executive level command school. I currently hold a bachelor criminal justice degree from Herzing University, and I'm an FBI National Academy graduate. I serve on several different boards currently. I serve on the Alaska Association Chiefs of Police. I serve on the Alaska High-Intensity Drug Trafficking Area Board. I also serve on our regional Southeast Alaska Area Maritime Security Committee Board and a national group known as the FBI CGIS Working Group for the western side of the United States board as well. Some of the reasons why I want to be on this board is, you know, I have a strong purpose to serve. Anytime these type of opportunities come up, I strongly consider them as far as it goes. And with that, my background in law enforcement, I'm 28 years of law enforcement experience. I think what I bring to the table is I have a good understanding of police professionalism and also accountability. And I think it'd be great to serve on a council that oversees standards, uniform standards for all law enforcement officers that they have to obtain and maintain to be police officers, serve as police officers in communities across Alaska. So that's my little background and why I'm here, Mr. Chair, and I'm available for any questions.
Well, Ed, first of all, thank you for your years of service and your strength in the community. Questions at this point for Mr. Mercer? Senator Reinbold?
So basically, public safety is government's most important mandate. We all know that, okay? And when we say the Pledge of Allegiance, we say justice for all. However, a lot of people don't feel like there's justice in the state. And I don't think it's necessarily the police standards or the police officers, because let's just say for rape and sexual assault, let's say there's 1,500 cases in the state of Alaska, the highest in the nation by far. Then you get, let's say, 10% of them, let's say Department of Law actually decides that they're going to accept. And then they convict maybe 50 of those. So out of 1,500 cases, maybe there's 50 convictions. There's a lot of hurting women and children, girls that have been abused out there. And a lot of times when I go into Highland Correctional Facility and I'll ask the girls why, you know, it's almost always back to a time that they were abused in their life, that they started using drugs because they don't know how to deal with the pain. They feel like there was no justice. So I guess my question to you is, where are the holes in our system, and how can we allow victims to be more heard and there to be a more truly justice for all in Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator Reinbolt. Thank you for the question. Sexual assaults is a very traumatic event, obviously, just by what you're talking about and how sometimes that carries on through an individual's life because of that traumatic event as far as it goes. As you're aware, sexual assault investigations are very, very, very complex, meaning that, you know, you have to collect factual and physical evidence for it to go through. So I'm not necessarily surprised that sometimes our conviction levels are not at the level maybe the general public would consider they should be at. With that, I appreciate the fact that you don't believe it's law enforcement that's playing a role in that. Over the past year, I think I advocated, and I think I've spoken with Mr. Chair about the importance of not only the police departments being fully capable to go out there and do their job, but our prosecutors as well. And there has been shortages across the state, including in our region, when it came to the staffing of prosecutors. And with that, just like even when there's shortage of police resources, you have to prioritize. And I see that no different when it comes to our prosecutors. Fortunately for us in the Juneau area, we got another prosecutor as far as it goes. And I think that's just going to make it even better when we are investigating sexual assault cases to be able to get it to them so they're not being screened, especially if it's a really good case as far as it goes. And in this case, in many cases, like I said, it's a very complex case. They don't have enough sometimes physical evidence to be able to proceed with those particular cases.
Through the chair. Can I proceed?
Please.
Okay. So a lot of the victims, I didn't say it wasn't law enforcement because I'm getting more and more and more people reporting back to me that law enforcement is not listening. Mm-hmm. They're not validating. They're disregarding. And sometimes there's individuals in a community and the guy is protected. He's in a protected status, basically, where they don't want to go after him. So I'm not saying that law enforcement is not part of the problem or part of the solution. What I'm saying is that you guys, let's say there's 1,500 offenses you've obviously, you know, been doing. You've obviously been working and trying to track it down. But the problem I have is the number of convictions and the horrid statistics. What would you do to fix that in the state of Alaska? There's obviously loopholes besides just throwing another prosecutor, you know, on the case, which, of course, we have Department of Law. Several of us have the Department of Law. I think Senator Hughes, are you in Department of Law? So three of us here on the Department of Law subcommittee. So, yeah, another prosecutor, but there's got to be more. The girls are not being heard, and they're very, very frustrated. And then they medicate themselves with drugs, and then they're vulnerable citizens in our society. And what I'm looking for is a passion, fire in the belly of people in law enforcement that really care, that they're not going to disregard the massive horrific statistics. And what would you personally, being in the business for, 20 or 25 years, I believe you said, which thank you very much, what would you do to help validate these and get more cases prosecuted and more of the offenders off the streets?
So I'll just add a little bit to that, just to keep it focused about the Police Standards Council. There are things that we can do for those who have failed to keep their honorable duty, and there are things that we can do in training. If we bring it into the realm of what you're in front of this committee for, in the Police Standards Council, what are some of the things that maybe you could see done better or have been done well and are working well?
Thank you, Ms. Chair and Senator Reinbolt. If I can, I want to answer Senator Reinbolt first, and I'll answer your question next to Senator Coghill. I think, and I equate this to something similar to domestic violence. If you go back pre-1980, where they and then go back farther, domestic violence was more or less accepted across this country until laws started getting in place where they mandated things, as far as mandating arrests for violation of the law for domestic violence. And I think our country and our state has come a long ways where, at least on the police side of the spectrum, people are more susceptible to report those type of crimes. So I think we're on the right track by, for one, bringing awareness. When you throw statistics like you're throwing at me today, as far as the number of convictions and there's disproportion as far as how many are convicted and the other are going the other way, is that we continue down the track of educating the public and make it more acceptable for people to report it, because it's very hard for victims in general to want to go report when that type of traumatic event happens. The sensitivity going through the ins and outs of the criminal justice system and the exposure that they may get that may not be necessarily friendly to them. So on the police side of things, I think we just have to keep our avenues open and make it available for people to report the crime. And I think if we continue on the track we are by bringing awareness to our state, we'll get that eventually. As far as professionalism and training, and when it comes to Alaska Police Standards Council, I think it's essential. You need to uphold that that we are professional in our manner when we act as police officers, and we investigate all crimes, regardless of who the individual is. And training is a big part of that. No different going back with domestic violence, there's mandatory training for law enforcement now every year. And there's a reason for that. Even though you may have tenured officers have heard the same training over and over, it's being put in their head as far as this is the laws and this is what we'll do to go out and do it. So training is essential when it comes to the Alaska Police Standards Council, and maintaining that, making sure that these officers who are being certified have that training.
Thank you. Senator Hughes.
Yes, thank you for being here and for your willingness to serve along the of lines of both what the chair and Senator Reinbold brought up. Is there any training right now that you can think of that you think might need to be modified a bit in regard to the fact that we're learning more and more that we have a high rate of human trafficking here, even more so than in some large cities in the lower 48, that we have a problem with child sexual exploitation, we have just the high sexual assault rates, that there seems to be agreement across the political spectrum that we need to address it. So is there something more that maybe that the officers could be trained to pick up on things? Or I know I met with I think it was Covenant House, and they did think that there might be some improved training for officers that might increase their awareness and what to notice, those kind of things that might be helpful in these areas that are incredibly troubling. And I don't know if you're familiar with any of that, but because the Police Standards Council is developing and setting what the training requirements are going to be, is that something you might be looking into?
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Hughes, for the question. You know, I've already seen on different calendars as far as human trafficking. Obviously, I think that's happening in the state. I can't really say that we're getting that many cases down here in the Juneau area, per se, that we're aware of. And I think by just having that general training for officers as far as signs to be able to, if they see something, to be a little bit more suspicious of it, maybe ask a little bit more questions why, especially when they're having contact with individuals being trafficked as far as it goes. No different in how we train our drug investigators on interdiction and when we interact with individuals to see if they're illustrating certain traits that they're exhibiting that maybe catches our suspicion and we move forward with it. As far as sexual assault training and domestic violence training, I mean, I could tell you that several of my detectives were just sent off to strangulation training. I know the state has been campaigning that really hard and trying to provide that for all law enforcement officers, so I think we're on the right track there. But once again, I'll just continue to go down the track of making it aware and making it so that they police officers understand this is an issue in our state. It's not just because we're not connected to highways that, you know, this trafficking is not going on. It does happen.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chief, thanks for coming. Thanks for your work. I guess maybe a two-part question. One would be, I really appreciated what you talked about in terms of partnerships with federal law enforcement, with other law enforcement agencies. Obviously, the conversation we're having here at the table with you today points to the complexity and how far some of these issues go in society. At least the first question I might ask would be, if you could plus up the relationship, improve the partnership between law enforcement agencies and anybody outside of law enforcement in the state, who would you point us to maybe help you out with that? Where would you like to see that working better? And then the other question, more specific to the council, is there a project that you'd like to see law enforcement undertake in terms of training and improving within the law enforcement community?
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Keel. Pretty broad questions. I appreciate that. I guess the first question is who we might want to partner outside the state. Well, under federal law, there's a VAWA Act, correct? The Victims Against Women's Act. I remember over 20 years ago, I had the opportunity as a police officer to go to these conferences around the country and attend where we had all the individuals, all the players, prosecutors, advocates, the police, all partake in that. I think that's something that we should continue to do nationally because we learn from other states of issues that are going on. Alaska tends to fall behind when it comes to trends, but it usually ends up in Alaska. It takes a little bit of time for us to get there. So maybe reaching out down that avenue in regards to addressing some of the issues and building those partnerships on the national level across the board and state to state. As far as training, you know, I think we do at least, and I'm speaking on behalf of my police department, I think we do a really good job trying to get as much training for our officers as possible. I mean, a minimum in my police department, we have 80 hours of training just in-house for our officers, and that doesn't include sending these officers out for specialty training in all different types of disciplines. At the very least, I think just providing the basic domestic violence, the strangulation type of training to interdiction, especially when it comes to driving offense detections, when it comes to marijuana, and which is referred to A-RIDE training. I think we could get that out to our officers so that they're better able to detect those type of offenses out there.
Senator Reinbold.
So thank you for the opportunity. It's just I'm looking at for any vehicle I can before any subcommittee, before anybody who comes before us, just to keep the victim, you know, in the absolute focus of what you do. I think it's just so important. But you brought up marijuana. Marijuana's been legalized. There's lots of shops here, you know, that for some of us, I can't stand the smell of it. It smells like a skunk. And one thing I want to know if there's, you know, if you have any opinions in regards to that. And I get so many comments, even from the AFL-CIO, you know, the lobbyist that I just walked by, Don, about, you know, drugs and the massive amounts of drugs that, you know, are through our community. And law enforcement officer after law enforcement and say, you know, drugs is because theft, petty theft, and then you go to burglary, you go to home invasion, vehicle theft. What can we do? What can you do? Do you need dogs? You know, what do you need to help decrease improve the standards of having the officers have more ability to stop what's going on, knowing that drugs are kind of the center of a lot of crime? What can we do law-wise? What can we do to support you? And what kind of resources do you need to make the community safer?
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, thank you for the question. You know, I think our state's done a really good job when we were finally brought in with the rest of the country when it comes to high-intensity drug trafficking area and getting that money for training our detectives who are going out doing drug investigations to also providing training to those police departments where they get better at detecting drugs and whatnot. So I think we're on the right track as a state and finally have federal money pass through funds that's going to be beneficial to all of us across the state and all of our communities as far as that goes. You reminded me when you talked about marijuana, yes, it's legalized, but studies that I have seen in other states is that we also see impaired driving that involved, which is against the law. So training that might be valuable for all officers is to have the ability to go out and perform investigations when it comes to driving offenses under the impaired driving, to also having maybe some detection units as far as to be able to do pre-testing out in the field and whatnot. Very expensive is my understanding. So if those are a few things I think would be valuable as far as it goes. The Juneau Police Department has a dog. We use our dog. We use our dog quite regularly, not only in our community, but around the state of Alaska, they do call, but in our region. And it can be very effective, but it's a very expensive program for most police departments. So if there's funding available out there, that would certainly be something I would be interested in, but usually it rests with the jurisdiction and the police department to be able to do that. So I would say drug dogs is an important part. It's just very expensive.
Senator Chiggy?
Yeah, thanks for being here, Chief. And thank you, Mr. Chairman. What is the Police Standards Council's role with VPSO and VPO programs?
Through the chair, Senator Meegee. Pronounce your name right?
Perfect.
Okay, thank you. I believe that we play a role in all law enforcement. Anybody who goes out and is going to enforce laws, wear the badge, and have the authority to go out and do those types of things, I think the APSC board and council play a big role to assure that those individuals are properly trained and hold the requirements that are necessary to be certified. And I don't think we distinguish between a police officer working in a municipality, a state trooper, or a BPSO. I think if they have the ability to go out and enforce the laws, they should be held under the same standards.
Can you follow up?
Sure.
So,
Mr. Chiggy.
Thank you. A couple of our committee members here talked about the sexual assault, which often causes the reason why some people self-medicate, but often the providers of the medication are gangs from somewhere else. Is on considering your role as standards for employment certification and training, have you been somewhat focused on the recognition of gang activity and effective investigation methods on sort of rooting it out? I mean, we improved the laws last year. Now it comes to the point where you got to make it quite obvious that Alaska's not a state that's friendly to that type of business. So have you, or do you support, or have you been working toward the Standards Council really being as effective as at cracking gang activity as the state was in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Through the chair, Senator McKeeke.
It goes Michiki.
Michiki. Thank
Mike
you.
Michiki.
I have not so much been involved when it comes to gang activity. I'll tell you that in our southeast region, although we have gang affiliations that may come through our region, it is not what we're seeing in our more populated areas of the state where they're more frequent as far as that goes. With that being said, I think there should still be a role on providing training so that we are aware of it. And I will tell you, going back to drug investigation, because that nexus you talked about, drugs and all the other types of vices that go along with drugs, our detectives are getting some training in that, especially on the federal level when they go off to DEA basic course. That's 2 weeks. They talk about gangs and affiliations and stuff like that.
Chief, thank you very much. Well, we have one more question yet.
I do.
By the way, Chief, you probably are keeping Mr. White from having to answer all these questions. But you can see we have a desire to know from your eyes that world. And so, Senator Hughes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the duties of the Police Standards Council will to be to determine whether someone who a law enforcement officer who's been involved in misconduct would lose their certification. And so I'm just wondering, have you ever been involved in a situation where an officer has lost certification, and how would you make that determination? Would you just give us our perspective and enlighten us perhaps how that might go about and what your decision-making process might be?
Unfortunately, through the chair, Senator Hughes, unfortunately I have been part of that, just being part of administration within the Juneau Police Department for over 10 years, playing a role from receiving a misconduct complaint on a police officer and seeing it through our administrative process, in which officers have been either disciplined on or to the point where they have been terminated from the police department, and referring that up to the Alaska Police Standards Council. So I have history, especially through the administrative process within the police department, on how that works. I do understand under the Police Standards Council there are different sections that apply where an individual did something, a misconduct of some kind, that is so egregious that basically under good moral character is not suitable to be certified in the state of Alaska under Alaska Police Standards Council. So I guess I have a good sense of it administratively internally, but as far as working on the Alaska Police Standards Council, which I've only been on since I think December of last year, I have a good understanding of it, but I'm still working through that.
Okay. And just a quick,
sure, Senator Hughes.
In follow-up to Senator Michiki's question, I guess you mentioned that the standards should apply to all law enforcement officers, but does the Police Standards Council actually have jurisdiction over local law enforcement, you know, police officers and municipalities, as well as troopers, as well as VPOs and VPSOs? In other words, would you be evaluating a situation involving misconduct with all the, for any of those entities, or you just have jurisdiction over some of them?
My understanding is through the chair. I'm sorry, Senator Hughes. When you on APSC, they have that jurisdiction as far as looking at from the state level to the municipal level to. I think there is recommendation or legislation out there that are trying to include and broaden VPSOs as far as that goes, and putting them in all in one area so that all those the criteria is the same. So, I believe that's what APSC is able to do.
I think we are considering that in front of the legislature at this point. Senator Keel, one last point.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chief, I guess one more local area of concern. Buddy's been working a long time. You have a plan to replace him when he...
Fortunately, through the chair, Senator Keel, we do. And we have funding available that are through our city budget that we will be looking to replace him. Buddy is about 6 years old, and he's done a great job, and we value that program enough that we need to continue to keep it going.
Thank you.
Yeah, all important for us. Chief, thank you. And we knew that if you showed up in person, you would end up answering a lot of questions. But as you can see, we have this intense desire to know how to look into not only the police standard world, but public safety generally. And so thank you for your continued effort in both public safety and now willing to work with our police in their standards and in our training. Without that, any other questions, I'll let you go, and then we'll go to Joseph White, who is your counterpart from Ketchikan.
Thank you, Ms. Chair, and I'll hold Chief White to a lunch after this.
Mr. White, if you're online, can you hear us? Are you able to join our meeting?
Yes, I am. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity today to speak in front of you. I'll give you a real quick rundown of me. My name is Joseph White. I've been with the Ketchikan Police Department now for 24 years. I've been the chief for the last 3 years. I attended high school here in Ketchikan and then finished up in Kodiak. I went to college in Fairbanks and then graduated in Anchorage with a bachelor's degree. I sit on a local DV task force, a sexual assault task force, and I'm the chair of our local emergency planning committee. I've, like Chief Mercer there, I've received thousands of hours of police training to include a graduate of the FBI National Academy in 2013. I was appointed to Alaska Police Standards Council May of 2018, so I've had the opportunity to partake in some of the meetings and some of the decisions that come in front of us. The thing I think I bring to the council is I have quite a few years of police experience in dealing with some of our problems here locally that we've had with some of our officers, and I like to hear all sides of the argument before I make a decision on what the best path is to go down for each situation. And I've enjoyed being part of the council for the last 2 years. And with that, I would be open for any questions you have. Thank you.
Sure, and thank you for being willing to be here. Senator Reinbold, you had a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Chief, for being on today. I have a question. There was several chiefs of police, and I actually forgot to ask this to the previous chief, that opposed SB 91 3 years ago. I'm wondering if you know if Juneau was one of them that opposed. I think there was about 10 chiefs of police that opposed that bill. And I was pretty sure I saw, Chief, your name on that letter opposing SB 91. Am I correct?
No, I did not sign any letters opposing that I remember. I do feel that, if I could expand just for a minute, Senator, thank you for the question. I do believe that at the time we needed some reforms. I think some of them were deep cutting. Other ones were definitely necessary. So I was kind of... I was kind of wait and see when we started that whole process. That makes sense.
Through the chair.
Sure. This is really the Police Standards Council, so let's try to keep it focused on some of the things that are regarding the Police Standards Council.
And you can, I think, allowing us to talk about issues that are important to our constituency is really important. Public
supporting
safety
bills and not is, supporting bills most, may not be effective. Maybe a policy call if you could bring it up, Senator.
Well, Chief of Police, it is very disappointing that if you didn't stand up, to support. Because when I go to our police, when I ride along with our Alaska APD, Anchorage APD, they were completely disheartened, and I actually got a standing ovation, a cheering when I came, before our police, Anchorage Police Department, for standing up to SB 91, because they said it was one of the most disheartening, discouraging, morale booster, ruining morale in the Anchorage Police Department when SB 91 passed. So it is disappointing that, that your name wasn't on there. What I would like to ask is what would you do to help? Do you like House Bill 49, for one? And is there anything else that we can do to ensure that our officers are happy, equipped, feeling like they're doing something? Because I can tell you a lot of our troopers right now are telling me they're very discouraged about the low conviction rate. And, of course, the victims are also very discouraged about that. So is there anything, knowing all the questions that we've asked here, that we can do to help reduce drugs on the street and help prevent the low conviction rate of sexual assault and domestic violence? How can we work with you? Where do you see you can help us improve public safety in the state of Alaska?
Before you answer that, Chief, Senate Bill 49 is now the law. So asking you if you like the law as passed, I think, is an inappropriate question at this point. But what we can do to help Alaska from your perspective, I think, is a legitimate question. So you can start from there. And then try to head it towards how, at the Police Standards Council, you might be able to help Alaska better.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Senator, for the question there. I one of the questions part was how to better do drug enforcement. I think that building relationships with other agencies, with trying to find points of entry, building relationships with those people to identify the patterns, that's key. We work jointly with the task force in Southeast Alaska, including Juneau. We work hand in hand with them now. We have dedicated drug officers, and we could always use more support. We have a pretty good relationship with the federal agencies. They come in and help us quite a bit. As far as sexual assaults, we are in the process of evaluating our own systems. We're looking at new training for officers, some new interview skills. We've always gone through one interview class for all of our officers, and now we're looking through maybe more of an emotional support type interview system for these victims. We do have, I know one of the questions with the sexual assault and sexual trafficking, we don't have a lot of trafficking cases down here, none that I've been aware of in the last few years, but we do have a lot of online enticement cases with juveniles, both here and locally in Ketchikan, and ones that stem from out of state. So we work jointly with other agencies down south to get those people accountable for their actions and get them prosecuted. So I think a lot of this comes down to the relationships you build with other stakeholders, other agencies, and how you can work cooperatively with people to get the best outcomes. And I'm sorry if I missed some of the other questions.
No, thank you. I think that said it well. Other questions at this point? Senator Hughes?
Yes, if you could, thank you for stepping up and being willing to serve Chief White, and you probably heard the discussion earlier, but if you could just speak to if you have any changes to the training related to some of the disturbing crime trends that we're seeing statewide, even though they may not be in Southeast, and then also your experience and perspective in relationship to an officer who may have been involved in misconduct and how you would go about determining discipline or removal of their certification.
Thank you, Senator. Through the chair, training specific for officers for sexual assaults, I think that, again, this is going to come back to we have a detective division here. We train our detectives in forensic child interviewing. Everyone goes through it. Every 2 years, 2 to 3 years, we have a new detective group. So we have a pretty well-trained force of forensic child interviewers. I think also this comes down to get better prosecution out of these cases. I think that the DAs definitely need to be involved in some of the trainings that we attend as police officers when we're working these cases. And they do at times come down. They're super busy. I get it. But we need to have a better coalition between the advocates, the health providers, the prosecutors, the victim coordinators, and the police department to get these cases the best results we can. I think we've made leaps with some of our DNA testing and some of the results we're getting back. We're moving forward with those. And I think a lot of this comes down to if you want the best outcomes, you need highly trained officers. So, again, training dollars are at a premium, but we do the best we can with bringing in training and trying to get our officers as highly trained and proficient in these things as we can. As far as officer misconduct, unfortunately, I've been here 24 years, and I've been part of these over my career, including sending officers' names up to APSC in the past. If an officer is misusing their power to that point, you're losing public trust. Once you've lost public trust, your job as a police officer becomes exponentially more difficult. We need a working relationship with our communities. Our communities need to have trust and support of the police department. So if you have an officer who has risen to that level, it is imperative that you need to get rid of them. And that's what this Alaska Police Standards Council is there for. They need to screen these applicants, these cases, and they need to maintain the highest standards for our state. If one officer does something in Ketchikan, it's going to affect the officers in Prince of Wales, in Metlakatla, in Wrangell. It's a regional thing. So it's imperative that this council keeps receiving these complaints, screening people that shouldn't be in the profession.
Thank you. Thank you. Just for what it's worth, the council consists of four chief administrative officers or chief of police. So today we get two of them in front of us who actually have had to hire and maintain order with it. Senator Reinbold, you had another question?
Thank you. And I do appreciate you guys, between the two of you, you have over 20 years each. So I think it's really outstanding that we have people with such high qualifications on this police standards. So basically, I have a couple different questions. One, I want to focus in on cyber crimes, and if there's anything, you know, that we should be aware of. Now, we've heard that there's an amazing amount of cyber crimes taking place, but do you have enough tools, I guess, to train the police officers in regards to that right now?
Thank you, Senator. Through the chair, yes. Actually, we're part of a task force out of Anchorage with the Anchorage Police Department and Alaska State Troopers, so we receive cyber tips. They receive the cyber tips, pass them on to us. We have a very active investigative division. Right now, staffing-wise, I'm down a detective, but and he's the one we have back there that does these crimes is very busy. Like I was saying, the online enticement crimes, we're working cases where the suspect is coming out of Colorado, out of New Jersey, so we get these a lot. And the amount of child pornography that comes through is quite heavy. So we do rely on this partnership we have with APD and the task force up there. We were able to send two of our detectives up to training they held last year, I believe, up in Sitka. With that, we ended up getting some support from them for new equipment, computer and analysis equipment, thank you, and cell phone, some stuff to do some cell phone analyzing. So they've been a big help to us for these type of cases and prosecuting. We've had very good results in the prosecution, and we work these cases very hard. They're a huge issue to us down here that we want to make sure that these don't go unturned.
Thank you, Chief. Senator Reinbold.
Yeah, Chief, this is just a really important issue. I know Senator Hughes was the chair, and I was the vice chair of this committee last year, and we worked really, really hard on this issue in this committee, and that's why I have to say I think it's completely appropriate to ask if you like the law, the changes in the law that we made in this committee to empower police officers and improve the morale of police. And I will absolutely, because I every single man and woman or man in blue told me how important it was to work on it, improving the statute. So I would like to make a comment and say thank you very much for working with the federal agencies. I've been quite impressed by some of the cases that have come out, and you highlighted that. You also highlighted coordinating with several agencies, and that there's an improved in DNA testing. And also, I know that there was an audit on the crime lab, and those tools are just so important for you know, so the case goes to completion. We actually get more convictions and more of the bad guys off the street. So really wanted to say thank you for highlighting some of the positive things that are happening, and I want to wish you well on this council.
Thank you, Senator.
Other questions at this point? Mr. White, thank you very much for taking time to listen in and make yourself available and being willing to serve on this Police Standards Council. I don't see any other questions. Anything that you wanted to add before I let you go?
Mr. Chair, thank you again. I appreciate the opportunity to speak in front of you guys today, and I do believe this council is very, very important to the state of Alaska, to its citizens, communities. I just can't stress enough how having the highest standard officers, it pays off in dividends. And so I really appreciate the council, having the council and being part of it. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Mr. White. Appreciate it, and have a good day. You can stand by. We're going to have I'm going to open public testimony, but at this point I don't see a lot of public testimony for either you or Mr. Mercer. We do have Jennifer Winkleman, who is also appointed to the Alaska Police Standards Council, and she will join us, and you'll see that she occupies a different seat than the two chiefs will. Jennifer, can you hear us all right? Put yourself on the record if you can.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the committee. For the record, my name is Jennifer Winkleman, and I am currently the Acting Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Corrections. Many of you know, when I'm not acting in this current role, I am the Director of Pretrial Probation and Parole. I am sorry that I am not in person today. I had a matter come up in Anchorage and needed to be up north for the day. So I truly thank the committee for your time this afternoon in my reappointment for the Correctional Administrative Officer position on the Alaska Police Standards Council. And kind of just to add on that, when we were discussing the Alaska Police Standards certifying other law enforcement agency, I wanted to make note that it is the certification for probation, parole, pretrial, and correctional officers as well. For the record, I'll provide a brief personal introduction. I am a fourth-generation Alaskan. I was born and raised in Fairbanks. My family relocated to Juneau in 2016 following a promotion with the Department of Corrections. I graduated from the University of Alaska Fairbanks with a degree in justice and paralegal studies, and I have been with the Department of Corrections just shy of 20 years, both in the institution and the field. I love the work. I am passionate about what I do. I always share with others that it's the best job in the world to be able to influence the well-being of another person. I am married. My husband, Ron, was also born and raised in Alaska, and he actually retired in 2016 after 30 years with the Department of Corrections. We have two children who attend school there in Juneau. We love to travel, do anything outdoors with family. Two questions that I answered during confirmation previously and that I really want to share with you is why I would like this position and what value I could bring to the council. And so first I would start by saying why I would like the position. Like I believe it was Chief Mercer mentioned, I have a strong purpose to serve. I also believe this council is incredibly important to maintain professionalism and integrity within our law enforcement community. And I think that this professionalism and integrity correlates to public safety. When I was appointed the Director of Pretrial Probation and Parole, I was presented with the opportunity to serve on this council in this role, and I saw it as an honor and a privilege to serve in a greater capacity outside of what I would call my comfort zone of corrections. And I was, again, hopeful that I could affect the well-being of others. As a leader in corrections, I have shared with many others and many other agencies that in order to successfully promote public safety, we cannot operate in a silo, and we need each other and the community. I feel like that ties into a lot of the questions that have come up today with regards to victims and others. I do feel that we need to be all operating together and training together. I recognize that for various reasons, the state of Alaska in general has encountered difficulty with recruitment and retention, and these difficulties seem parallel across all law enforcement agencies. To serve on this council allows me to have insight into opportunities that can be offered to produce and maintain highly trained officers to protect our great state. And on the other side, service on this council would allow me the opportunity to help restore faith of those who have lost it towards the law enforcement when cases of misconduct are brought to our attention. I believe in the work of peace officers, but I also believe it's imperative that there's a check and balance system in place because of the latitude and authority that is granted by the sheer nature of the profession. And maybe to even get ahead of one of the questions I believe that Senator Hughes had asked, unfortunately, I too have been involved in many cases that have involved some sort of discipline or misconduct that have been brought essentially to whether it's our human resource or even myself as a manager. And throughout the last year on the council myself, I have seen it from a different perspective, and I feel that I have been able to, I've learned a lot in the process from all the other agencies, but also share the knowledge that I have from the corrections side of things. The second question was what value I think I could bring to the council. So back to the not only bringing a corrections viewpoint, but I also think that I can offer a broad statewide perspective. I have managed probation and parole offices from our northernmost office of Barrow Utagavik to our southernmost office of Ketchikan. And this responsibility gave me exposure and knowledge of the strengths and struggles that exist in regard to resources, staffing, and the unique nature of cases in Alaska, and how they do vary from communities to community. I have seen and been required to work together with whatever law enforcement agency is in the community I am visiting. And I just believe that it is imperative that APSC agencies work together on a daily basis regarding everything from training to day-to-day assistance in the field. I think the teamwork is imperative to accomplish an independent mission, and I can share that while I have not lived in a community in rural Alaska, I have visited countless times, and I can bring that experience to the council. I have served on the Police Standards Council for the last year. I believe the council lives by its mission and its core services, and I feel that my experience and personality would continue to be an asset to the council. Over the years, I have listened and empathized wholeheartedly with both the challenges and opportunities that staff face in different areas across the state. I feel I have been fair and impartial in making decisions that impact officers and communities. I consider the facts. I successfully formulate decisions based on big picture and ultimately the safety of our community. In closing, I would state that while the career field is evolving with technology and tools of the trade, one thing remains steady, and that's the necessity to ensure that the state of Alaska is producing highly skilled law enforcement agents with morals and integrity. I do believe the council is in place to do just that, and I know my experience within corrections brings value to the council and ultimately the state. I thank you again for your time today, and I'm open for any questions.
Senator Reinbold has a question for you, Jennifer.
So, Deputy Commissioner Winkleman, thank you for what you do at Department of Corrections as well, and thank you for your willingness to serve. I know you have a lot, about 20 years experience, and you can also draw from 30 years from your husband, so I appreciate that. What I was a little concerned about is two Juneau people, now that you're from Juneau, and then one from Ketchikan, just being a little bit too regionally off-balanced. However, you know, once you explained all your work in rural Alaska and coming from Fairbanks, you know, that puts a little bit more at ease. I would like to make sure you guys make sure you network well with the Anchorage and the troopers, because I think that, you know, they're a good majority of our law enforcement out there. And also wanted to just, you've heard the discussion going on. I've worked with you so many times on so many different issues, but I just would ask you to please, with what you do, encourage the officers to be victim-centered. We have pretty horrific statistics up here, and I think our system is very much leaning in favor of the defendant, and I think we all need to have a heart and soul for Alaska, and I would just ask from the bottom of my heart that you try to never forget the impacts of crime on our victims. And with that, thank you for serving.
Thank you. Through the chair to Senator Reinbold, I thank you for your comments, and I am committed to that, and I think that kind of goes hand in hand. Your first comment about the three of us, it was funny. I thought the same thing today, that all three of us were representing Southeast, and yet there are several other folks on the council and not all from Southeast. We ironically are on today. That being said, with regard to the most important thing you stated, with regard to the having the victim center, I was thinking a lot about the training and the questions that have come up with regard to that, and how important I believe that everything that we're doing, the common denominator often involves the victim, and so how important that is that we are aware of resources within not only our own agencies, but in awareness of what each other has out there, and that we are making decisions circularly with everybody included. So I appreciated your comment, and they're not lost on me.
Maybe, Ms. Winkleman, you can talk to us a little bit about some of the unique issues surrounding training that might involve the correctional officers, probation parole officers, that are unique to discussing standards and training that you find at the council.
Sure, to the chair. Particularly with the pretrial probation and parole officers, I would state with regard to the victim question and some of the training, I can't stress that enough. When folks are out of custody, when the returning citizens are, the defendants are on our supervised release, essentially, how important it is that our officers are trained in victim-sensitive topics, understanding what has the trauma that has happened, because the victims are often they don't know the system. They won't be familiar with working with us and how important it is and how important our role is in educating them. And so ensuring that our officers, that kind of to the root of your question, ensuring that our officers are trained in the victim side of things. And I know that it's much more broad than that. There's lots of training areas that I believe corrections officers and probation pretrial and probation officers need to be focusing on by all means. But I do think that training within the courts, with the attorneys, the victims, so that it kind of goes back to what I said originally about kind of taking that circular approach so that we're all – when probation officers supervise sex offenders, we do it with what's called a containment model, where we have polygraphs, we have a probation officer, and we have treatment, and it's a team approach in supervising, because one person can't address all the needs of the one defendant that we're working on. And I view working in the system the same way, that the law enforcement, the probation, any sort of corrections officer, probation or corrections officer, the victims, the attorneys, and the courts, we all have to be working together, working with the same individual.
Thank you very much. Senator Hughes has a question for you.
Yes, thank you. Deputy Commissioner, appreciate your being online, and of course we would have preferred having you here in person. We always enjoy having you in the room, but I'm going to thank you for pre-addressing my question. So I'm going to ask a slightly different angle, in that correctional officers who work behind the walls, a little bit, it's a unique law enforcement position, and we know and we have discussed, and I think everyone's aware that that drugs are getting into our prisons too often. We know that substance abuse is underlying virtually all the crime in our state. And so one of the things I'm wondering whether you might be able to bring to the table, or if there's any best practices out there that might be brought into the training, is how other officers can pick up on whether there might be some misconduct where drugs are coming in through other COs. And, you know, I know most of our COs are good guys. They're not going to be doing that. But I know that there have been instances where that has happened. Is there anything, a training component that you're aware of, or best practices in other locations maybe that could help us root out that problem? I know you have legislation right now pertaining to contraband. And so I know it's a focus of Department of Corrections, but just wondering, as far as this Police Standards Council and your role and duty in regard to training, if there's any kind of training component that should be added that might help us with this particular problem.
So through the chair to Senator Hughes, thank you for your kind words. And yes, obviously we do have some legislation going through right now. With regard to the specific question, and I'll tie this into the Police Standards Council, in the sense of why I believe it is so important for corrections officers to fall under the Alaska Police Standards Council, and that is that level of professionalism and the level of training that is necessary for our officers, that certification that becomes, that kind of puts the nobility back into the profession, if you will, or into the profession, not back into the profession. And so while I am not aware of a certain training out there, your question has kind of piqued an interest in me to possibly look into it a little bit more, to ensure that even within corrections, that we are ensuring that our officers are receiving what our best practices, what with regard to training on that end, because that it is very dangerous when things are being brought into the facility, and it tarnishes the reputation of other officers immediately. And so it just, while I'm not aware to a specific training or best practice in doing it, you've piqued my interest, and it will be certainly something I want to look further into.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Keel, you have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Winkleman, thanks for your taking the time today, for your work. I appreciate the focus on training. I think it's very important, especially as the department works on a pretty significant staffing shortage, especially behind the walls. I think also some in probation and parole as well. I had someone make a suggestion to me, and I hope to get your sort of reaction to it, your thoughts about it. They pointed out that to work in a municipal jail, you have to be 19, but to work in a state of Alaska prison facility, you have to be 21. And so the suggestion was, given the shortage we have, perhaps we ought to think about making that age uniform at 19. And you have expertise, I don't, in this arena. I'd love to get your thoughts. Is that was that suggestion a stroke of genius? Is that a dangerous road to walk down? What are your thoughts about that sort of approach?
So through the chair to Senator Keel, it's a great question to kind of explore. I will tell you that it's been brought up to me in the very recent past as well. And it is certainly something I'm very interested in looking into and would like to have a conversation with the commissioner and kind of figure out what direction it would be a regulation change because of the Alaska Police Standards Council now states 21 for our correctional officers. I guess it kind of falls hand in hand with regard to the training and the other idea is that if we are hiring and training folks, I don't know that it's a dangerous road to go down, and I definitely would be interested in exploring it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions at this point? Jennifer, there's no other questions at this point. Any last statement before I go to public testimony?
No, I thank you guys for your time, and it does feel really weird to be on the phone when I'm usually right in front of you. So thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't have anybody signed up online for testimony. Anybody here in the room signed up for testimony? This is your chance. Nope. All right, then we're going to close public testimony. And before we move on, I'll just read what makes it, the composition of the council. You got four chief administrative officers or chiefs of police. You have the Commissioner of Public Safety or a designee, Commissioner of Corrections or a designee, two persons who have been certified for 5 years or more by the council who serve as a police officer, one as a probation officer, parole officer, or municipal corrections officer, one correctional administrative officer who is at the level of deputy or higher, and four members of the public at large with at least two from communities of 2,500 population or less. So it's a pretty good group of people. And for those who we interviewed today, they got all the questions that we ask about public safety and more, but we appreciate their willingness to serve. With that, I think at this point, I'll just go ahead and read the thing from Senator Michicki in accordance with 3905080, and we'll just name these folks out and sign up unless you guys have any other questions at this point. All right, Senator Michicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In accordance with AS 3905080, the Senate Judiciary Standing Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointments be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Alaska Police Standards Council, Ed Mercer, Juno, Joseph White, Ketchikan, Jennifer Winkleman, Juno.
So in assigning the report regarding the appointees to the boards and commissions, it doesn't reflect, in no way reflects individual members' approval or disapproval of the appointees. Nominations are merely forwarded to the full legislature for confirmation or rejection. But they do listen in on how we have asked them and their qualifications. So thank you very much, committee, for very thorough discussion on this. Thank you all for being available to the committee today to go through the questions and answers on the Police Standard Council. That is going to conclude this meeting. So the next thing that we're going to do is Wednesday we'll bring up Senate Bill 8, which is access to marijuana conviction issue, and Senate Bill 191, Trust and Trustees with Community Property. And with that, any other thing from the committee? We're adjourned at 2:35.